Thank you. My name is Daniel Gillis, and I'm presenting today some results from my master's research, and my supervisor was Dr. Gordon Price. I'm just going to begin by giving a short introduction on triclosan and my objectives. I will describe my methods that I used and present my results from the soil and biosolids, and just give one slide on some potential impacts that could result from triclosan in agricultural soils. To begin, triclosan is a very prevalent compound nowadays. It's used for its germ-fighting properties in consumer products. That is generally around 0.3% by weight. Some examples are toothpaste, antibacterial hand soap. These things are substances that generally end up going down the drain and go through the wastewater treatment process and end up in biosolids. In wastewater treatment, triclosan, the properties of it, it has a log octanol water partition coefficient of 4.53, and it has a low water solubility, which generally favors sorption to sludge. I apologize that this isn't lining up right. My laptop resolution is different than this, but the removal rate in wastewater treatment plants is generally greater than 95%, which is good news for wastewater treatment, but it's also bad news for biosolids that are applied to land. And in 2011, the Canadian Council of the Ministers of the Environment did a study on 11 Canadian wastewater treatment plants, including the plant that produced the biosolids that I used in my project. And in their study, they found triclosan in all of the biosolids that they tested in the range of 600 to 21,000 nanograms per gram. So my objective one of the objectives of my master's was to monitor contaminant concentrations over time in soils receiving Enviro soil, which is the trade name for the biosolid. The compounds that I looked for were paracresol, indole, 4-tert octylphenol, phenanthrene, triclosan, carbamazepine, and benzoapyrene. But fortunately, only triclosan was detected in the amended soils. The biosolid that we used came from the Halifax Regional Municipality, which is in Nova Scotia. And the sludge, the treatment process is it's called advanced primary treatment. It's primary settling with chemical flocculation of additional solids. And then that sludge goes through an alkaline stabilization process where it's mixed with cement kiln dust and quicklime, which causes the material to heat up, and it increases the pH to between 9.5 and 12, and it also pasteurizes it. So right here I have the description of two studies that I did. One was an incubation study under controlled conditions, and another was the field trial that we did with soybeans and corn. The incubation I just extracted one amendment rate from it. It was equivalent to 42 metric tons per hectare. And with this rate was three times the rate recommended for use in agriculture. And I analyzed six time periods over the 121 days of the incubation study, and there were three replicates from each time period. For the field trial, it was also just a single amendment rate from a larger ongoing field trial. The rate of application was 21 metric tons per hectare, which were applied in October of 2008 and in the fall, and June 2009 in the spring. And each of these applications was 1.5 times the recommended rate. And again, I analyzed six time periods over the 2 years, and there were three replicates of each time period. The analytical procedure that I used was adapted from a paper in the literature that looked at a broad range of chemicals instead of just targeting one or two, which presented challenges in itself in getting the method to actually perform for all these compounds. The extraction was ultrasonic assisted extraction with 10 minutes each and 3 times 10 milliliters of 80-20 isopropanol and water. Then that each extraction was centrifuged. The the supernatant was collected and combined. The combined supernatant was went through solid-phase extraction on Oasis HLB columns, which captured the analytes, and then that was stacked on top of a fluorosil column as a cleanup. And the conditioning solvent was a 80-20 dichloromethane diethyl ether, which it was also used as the elution solvent. After solid-phase extraction, we added a phenanthrene D10 internal standard and then evaporated the samples under nitrogen to 1 milliliter, which were then analyzed by GC mass spec on an Agilent 5975 series. My method performance data for triclosan is presented here. The calibration curve is linear, although there is some variability. This calibration curve is from 4 different trials that I did. And the error squared is pretty good. It's not the perfect one-to-one relationship that I would like to see, but it's not too bad. I did a spiking for each of the incubation and field trials. I spiked the soil at 20 nanograms per gram, and the recoveries that I got were higher than 100%, but there is some variability around that concentration. This is the concentration in my sample, and since I extracted 10 grams of soil, the concentration is 10 times less in the soil. To calculate my limits of detection and quantification, I extracted 9 samples that were spiked at 20 nanograms per gram, and these values are the upper 95 and 99% confidence intervals, which correspond to 3 times and 10 times the standard error. So in our analysis of the biosolid product, I tried to do it myself using the same method. But what happened was the samples turned to gel in the solid phase extraction, and it wasn't able to go through. One or two samples went through, but I wasn't confident in them, and since I had to use the GC mass spec for the rest of my research, we did not inject them. Independent analysis, however, found indole, paracresol, phenanthrene, triclosan, and benzoapyrene in the biosolids. We had 2 batches that we got analyzed by RPC labs. They found indole and paracresol. 4-tetroctylphenol was not detected. Phenanthrene was detected. Triclosan. Carbamazepine not detected. And benzoapyrene not detected. And these are in nanograms per gram. The Canadian Council of the Ministers of the Environment also, in their report, provided some data for 4-tetroctylphenol, which was not detected. Triclosan was not detected, it was detected. Carbamazepine was detected at low levels. But only triclosan was found in our amended soils. This graph is my incubation study. And as you can see, initially the concentration, there was a slight increase that was not significant. But after that, there was an 81% decrease between the days 3 and 121 that was significant. And we suspect that aerobic microbial degradation is the removal pathway. In the field samples, prior to biosolids being applied, there was no triclosan detected. After application, the concentrations were detectable. And based on the CCME report, they were pretty similar to the predicted values. The concentrations persisted over winter between November and May in 2 out of the 3 plots. And after biosolids were applied in the spring of 2009, the concentrations did not increase as we predict, as we expected, and in the fall they actually were not detected at all. So the dynamics that were predicted, the lower than predicted levels in the spring of 2009 might be linked to the rapid removal rate that we saw in the incubation study, since our field samples were not taken until several weeks after biosolids application. There might have been time for the compounds to degrade, and especially with warmer temperatures in the spring, they may have allowed triclosan decomposition. And in contrast, since we didn't see any lower concentrations after the winter, we suspect that the cooler temperatures inhibited decomposition. And just the final slide on some potential impacts. Organisms that consume the biosolids might be at increased risk of exposure. At soil concentrations similar to what we found, there was bioaccumulation in earthworms found by Kenya et al. And also Lin et al. Observed toxic effects at soil concentrations as low as 1,000 nanograms per gram. And that's my presentation. I would just like to acknowledge some funding sources, NSERC, the Nova Scotia Department of Agriculture, Nova Scotia Agri-Futures, and Canada Foundation for Innovation. And thank you. And if I have time for questions. Thank you. I tried modeling the incubation data, using a first-order kinetic model, but it didn't fit the data very good, so I didn't estimate the half-life.
You didn't try any other zero-order or
A double first-order model worked good, but I had trouble interpreting how to do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.